As we begin this morning, the monitor is out up there. I don't know what happened to it. As we begin this morning, we want to know that we are going to partake of the Lord's table today. And to take the Lord's table, Jesus tells us that we are to eat and drink in remembrance of me. If you have your Bibles with you, if you will open to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that's going to be the test for the text for today, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As we begin this morning, I want you to think about worship. Worship remembers that Jesus saves us. Now, when we do the Lord's Supper, it's like baptism. There's only two things that in the Bible that Jesus tells us we're supposed to do during a worship service, right? The Lord's Supper and baptism. The other stuff that we do in accordance with the Bible and in reverence and in worship. But when we do baptism, we worship in Jesus. We're professing the salvation that we have by the grace of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're also proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. We're remembering that Jesus saves us. Amen? Now, if all y'all's noticed that Gilbert's probably not the only one here that has trouble remembering that his uncle got hurt. Amen? It comes with age. The older I get, the less I remember. Sometimes Mona says it's intentional on my part, but I don't know that. But we forget things. Well, Paul knew that the church at Corinth, when they got saved, that they'd be forgetting. And he says, look, what I'm handing down to you, what I'm passing on to you, is that which I received from the Lord. Guess what? Jesus knows more than you do. He knows that you're going to forget sometime about the greatness of your salvation. So he gives us the Lord's Supper to remember. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, if you're there, Paul says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Now, what Paul received here was either a message from the Lord, the 3 years he spent in the desert after he was saved, or he received this tradition from the disciples that was with Jesus on the night before the crucifixion when they sat down to share the Passover meal together, and Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper during that meal. Because why? The old covenant was passing away and the new covenant was coming into place. So Paul says, look, I received this, and he don't really tell us. Did Jesus tell him directly how this happened, or was the disciples? But here's the point about the Lord's Supper. We are supposed to hand this tradition down from generation to generation. It follows the Passover. When the Passover was inaugurated in the Exodus in chapter 12, right after that, Jesus told Moses to tell the Israelites that they were to hand this down to their children, one generation after the other, so they could teach their children how great a deliverance God had delivered them from. Amen? So Paul says here, he says, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, having said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Kind Father, I just come before you now, and Lord, I just pray that through the busyness of the week, all the things that we had rushing around our minds when we entered here today, that Lord, we could just pause for a moment and consider how great a salvation we have and how great a Savior we have. And Lord, that we would remember to look back at our salvation, at the historical event on the cross. We'd look forward to your coming. Lord, we'd look within and discern our spiritual condition before you. And then, Lord, we'd look around for what is best for one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. I want to tell you four ways that we can remember Jesus when it comes to the Lord's Supper. First of all, we need to remember to look back. We need to look back at the crucifixion. Look back at the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, when you get saved, it was a historical event in your life that happened. And it matches the historical event that happened 2,000 years ago when Christ died on the cross. When we accept the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, we are, as Paul says, in Christ. The things that happened to Christ happened to us. Here's the good news. We didn't have to suffer and die on a cross because Jesus suffered and died in our place. But everything that Jesus did on the cross because he was innocent was done on our behalf in our place. Jesus died the death we deserved so he could give us all a life we do not deserve. Amen? And you need to remember, what happened to Jesus when I said, Lord Jesus, save me, forgive me, I know I'm a sinner, I know you died for me. It was as if I died 2,000 years ago when Christ died. It was a historical event. It was a historical event in my life. In 1994, I can tell you exactly where I was. Tell you what time. Don't know what day it was. Can't remember the date, but I do know where I was at. But that happened inside. And something happens inside nobody else can see, so we do what? We get baptized. And when we get baptized, we go under the water, and we are giving everyone a picture of dying with Christ to our old self, our old ways, our old sins. And we're raised to a new life. I got a bunch of baptized people right here from last week. Amen. And when they come up out of the water, everybody was cheering. They said, what? Raised in the likeness of his resurrection to walk in the newness of life from now on. So when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're looking back to the death of Christ, but we're also looking back to our death to sin and our new life that began, that we could live in Christ to God, in service to God. We look back and remember our baptism. I know a lot of y'all have been baptized a long time. And when you're baptized a long time, sometimes we don't think about the condition we was in when Jesus found us and saved us. Amen? And here, when we look back, we want to remember that Jesus says, my body was beaten and torn, disgraced and shamed, and my blood was shed in your place. When it says, this is my body which is broken from you for you, the Bible tells us that none of his bones would be broken and none of them was broken. But when he talks about his body being broken, he's talking about he was beaten. He was stripped. Jesus hung on the cross, stripped down. Why? For your shame. You know, we think about Jesus dying for our guilt, which he did die for our guilt. But guess what? All the sin that comes with your shame, Jesus took that shame on him also. His body was beaten and torn and bloody and hanging on a cross for everybody to look at, ridicule, and mock, so that you could be forgiven. And Jesus says, take this bread and eat it. What? Take it unto yourself. In other words, when we eat the bread, we're saying that Jesus' body, Jesus' life, Jesus' death belongs to me. And then Jesus says that he took the cup, and in the same way, he said, this is the new covenant. The same way means that he gave thanks. This is during the Passover meal when Jesus instituted this, and when he gives thanks or gives blessings or say bless the cup, a lot of times, even when we do grace, when we eat supper, don't we a lot of times say, Lord, thank you for this food, and we start blessing the food, don't we? Have you ever thought about it? That's like blessing the gift instead of the giver. We should pray, Lord, thank you for giving me this food. Sometimes I'm thinking, thank you for this big fat cheeseburger. But we need to be thanking God. And that's what Jesus is doing. When he took the bread and gave thanks, he was blessing God. When he took the cup and gave thanks, he was blessing God. And he says, this is the cup of the new covenant, which is given in my blood. When he's talking about this cup, Jesus is talking about he humbled himself to even death on a cross, and that he died for our sins. Now, what's going on here when Paul is writing this is a problem in Corinthians. It was the perfect church. They really didn't have no problems. It was just a few things going on there. First of all, they couldn't none of them get along. Second of all, a bunch of them thought they was better than the others. Then they had one group that was looking at everybody else's sin instead of their own sin. They had a few of them that was fussing and fighting and suing each other, but the other ones didn't have time to sue because they was running around with the other one's wives. Now, ain't that the kind of church you'd like to be in? Amen? And Paul here, just before he starts talking about the Lord's Supper, he's talking about the unity, what had happened. He says, look, I'm not going to commend y'all in the way y'all been eating, because it was a lot of them there that was thinking that they was better than the other ones because either they had more money, they was saved first, whatever was going on in their lives, they thought they was better than the others. They was eating first and leaving the poor people to eat last. Basically, the way these house churches was set up, the richer people would offer their church, to offer their house to have church in, and since it was their house, they'd have some of their closer friends or the people that looked more like them or acted more like them would come into like the dining room. So it'd be 8 or 9, 10 people in that room eating, and everybody else was kind of eating on the patio. And Paul says, look, y'all making distinctions between each other. Guess what? None of us is any better than the others. And here Jesus says he's making a new covenant so that all sins can be forgiven. Now, with that said, I want to pause right here, and we're going to pass out the cup and the bread, because I'm going to make a point about this as we move on into the Lord's Supper. Now, on the night that Jesus took the bread and the cup, it says he gave thanks, so let us give thanks. Kind Father, as we start, I pray that you would just guide and direct us and be with us here. And I pray that as we hand out the bread and the cup, that our hearts would be attentive, that we would think back to your death on the cross, your burial, your resurrection. We'd think back to the time that we realized we was a sinner, that you had died for us. We ask for forgiveness and you forgive us of our sins. And Lord, now as we go into this time, I pray that our hearts would be softened and our necks would be softened, that we could humbly bow before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask the deacons if they will stand. Now, when you receive this, don't open it. And if you don't want to hold it right now in your hand, there's a little tray in front of you. And when you do get ready to open these, the wafer is under the first. You can pull off. We got these so nobody's handling all the bread. You can pull the first layer off, and the bread will be there when we get ready to do that later. And then after that, you can pull the next top off, and you'll be able to get to the juice. I'm going to ask y'all if y'all will pass that out. And would you like to sing a song while they're doing that? I'm going to ask Brother Richard if he'll come and sing a song as they pass this out.
There's a window into heaven. I can close my eyes and see where there are no earthly struggles, and the soul there is set free, where the deaf and dumb are shouting, 'cause the blind can finally see, and those crippled legs are dancing out across the Crisco Sea. Now there's a special place in heaven where the unborn babies play, and they're rocked in arms by mama, whose chance had slipped away. And all the unwanted children can say, my daddy, he's the king. And there's smiles on all their faces as they spin around and sing. Now don't that sound like heaven? Don't that sound like home? Where the Son of God is reigning and the tears are finally gone. Don't that sound like heaven? Don't that sound like home? Darkness there is overtaken by the light that's always on. The price of heaven is expensive, but don't you worry about the cost. It was paid in full by Jesus when he hung up on the cross. And all the things that he will be there just like he said, as an eternal reminder of the precious blood he shed. Now don't that sound like heaven? Don't that sound like home? Where the Son of God is reigning and the tears are finally gone. Don't that sound like heaven? Don't that sound like home? Darkness is overtaken by the light that's always on. Darkness there is overtaken by the light that's always on.
Doesn't that sound like heaven? Have you ever thought about that would be the place where all Jesus' promises come true? Because see, that's what Paul wants us to realize, is we need to look forward also. Verse 26 tells us that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we will proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we look back at Jesus' death, but when we partake of this, we are giving a testimony to the shed blood and the broken body of Christ until he returns for us. And when we think about that this morning, I want you to think about how that relates to the Passover, that Jesus delivered the Israelites from Egypt, and they had a choice to make. When you claim God's promises, when you trust in God, you're blessed. When you don't trust in God, you're cursed. That's not a popular message now, but you are. And in the end, when Christ returns, if you've not accepted Jesus' forgiveness, you'll be cursed for all eternity. But here on this earth, the same thing works with us even as Christians. If we've trusted in God, but we've got things in our life that's not pleasing to God, that we're not living according to God's promises, God can't bless us. And we have to deal with the consequences, and sometimes we're living with curses that we brought on ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that every time we get sick or every time something bad happens to us, it's because we've done something wrong. But it's an opportunity for us to pause and say, hey, am I living the way God saved me to live? Am I living the way that I should? Because the Lord's Supper is tied so closely with the Passover, we need to remember that Jesus came that we might have a new covenant, a covenant where God says in Jeremiah 31 and 32 that he would plant a new spirit in us. It would make a new covenant. And he says, and your transgressions will be forgiven. And guess what? Your sins I'll remember no more. Isn't that a great blessing that our sins will not be remembered anymore? Now, the third thing we need to remember is that we need to remember to look within. Look what Paul says. He gives us the reason that we're doing this. We're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. This is an opportunity for other people to accept Christ before he returns, but it's also an opportunity for us who are saved. It says that, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of Christ. But a man must examine himself. In other words, a person must test themselves to see if they are a genuine Christian. If you partake of the Lord's Supper, you need to be saved. And if you are saved, you need to test yourself to see if your salvation is genuine. What do you mean by that? I mean, are you living in an habitual sin that you know God don't want you to be living in, and you've not confessed it? Here's the good news. When you get saved, you're forgiven, and God does not remember your sins no more. Isn't that good? But guess what? Y'all still sin. And I still sin. The Lord's Supper is an opportunity to keep a short list of your sins, confess them, and pause and think about your relationship between Christ and your sin. If you've got sin in your life that's unconfessed, confess it and ask the Lord to forgive you. And 1 John 1:9 says that he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the context there, John is talking about our fellowship. When we've got sin in our life, it breaks our fellowship with God. It also breaks our fellowship with one another. So we need to confess these sins. Paul says here that we need to look within. We need to examine ourselves. And he says, for whoever eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. He's talking about the body of Christ. Did Christ die for my sins? Yes. Did you know how much this meal cost? It's the most important, expensive meal you'll ever eat in your life. It cost God his son, his only begotten son. It cost Jesus his body and his shed blood. And he shed his blood unto death. And when we partake of it, we should want our hearts to be pure and clean. Now what's going on? And I've got to hurry up with this. But what's going on here at Corinth is this idea of elitism. In other words, some people thought it was better than others. And we're experiencing that right now on TV, social media, in life, in the government, in friendships, and the way that the culture is around us, it sneaks into our homes, into our lives, into our attitudes, and we have these attitudes. And this is what's going on with them. So when we get ready to take the Lord's Supper, you need to ask yourself, am I one of these people that come to church wanting to see Jesus? I'm wanting to worship Jesus. I want to remember what Jesus has done for me. Or are you one of them persons that come to church just looking for something wrong? Because if you are always looking for something wrong, you'll find it. And if you're always looking at other people's sin instead of your own sin, you're not going to be able to worship in the fullness of the joy of Christ. Now, I want you to hold up your cups that you got. In this church, and in God's universal church of everybody saved, did you know that all of us are valued just the same. That shed blood right there that represents the shed blood, the cup, was shed equally for each of us. Now, does that mean that we all as smart as one another? Does that mean we have more gifts than others? Does that mean some of us are richer than others? Some of us look better than others? That there's economically and smarts and talents, we'll never be equal on this earth. But our value is equal. And that's what we have to remember. That shed blood, the cup, the cross, is what makes us all equal in the sight of God. And that is the message that we proclaim. You can put your hands down. But I want you to think about that. When you take that bread today and when you take that cup here in just a few minutes, I want you to think about that we're all equal because of the shed blood of Christ. We need to examine one another. Colossians says it this way. In Colossians, Paul says this. He says, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. In other words, our stay on this earth is to be conformed into the image of God. And one day when we see Christ returning in the clouds, see him in his glory, then we will know what we're supposed to be like. So he says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. In them you also once walked when you were living in them. So we was all sinners, is what Paul is saying. But now that we are saved sinners, we need to put aside anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech. And we don't need to lie to one another. And we need to lay aside our old self, our old practices. We need to put on a new self, being renewed in the true knowledge of the image of the one who created us. So when we think about examining or looking within ourselves, we want to ask something. Do I always have to be first? See, in Luke, in the context of Luke, as soon as Jesus implemented this, you know them disciples. They'd been with Jesus 3 years. You know they had to be smart. They understood what Jesus wanted. You know what the first thing they did after Jesus had the Lord's Supper with them? They looked at each other and said, now which one of us is the greatest? They got in an argument who was going to be first. And Jesus says, let me tell you, he who wants to be first on this earth is going to be last in heaven. And he who don't mind being last here and don't mind being a servant here, he's going to be first when he gets to heaven. See, we should want to pick others up. A lot of times we try to make ourselves better by making other people look worse. I'm reading a book right now, and part of the thesis of the book is that we are more overwhelmed with other people's sins than we are our own. Anytime you see everybody else sinning, you better pause and look within. That's what Paul's warning us about here. Now, you know how the church works so that we are all equal. If somebody's got more talent here, or somebody can sing better, or somebody can teach a lesson better, or mow better, what we do is we all help each other and lift somebody up. And this is what the Corinthians weren't doing. They weren't helping each other. They weren't sharing their food. They weren't sharing the things they had. We like to push people down so we can be lifted up. Jesus says we're supposed to humble ourselves and help pick up each other so we're together. So if you like to gossip about people, stop it. If you can't forgive somebody, stop it. And you say, well, I forgave them, but it's hard. Hey, every time you take the Lord's Supper, if you realize in your heart, I thought I'd forgive them, but I just can't, I still got that resentment, ask the Lord again. God don't mind you asking to be forgiven. He'll forgive you and he will help you. Whatever's going on in your life that looks like the world instead of looks like Christ, you need to ask for forgiveness and ask the Lord to help you not do that no more. If you have a problem with anger or gossip and you say, well, preacher, I don't know what to do about it. I tell you what to do. Get you a Sharpie pen so it don't wash off. And whatever your sin is you having a problem with, anger, slander, write it on your hand, right? And then every time you see it tomorrow, say, Lord, forgive me of that. till you learn not to do it no more. This is what Paul wants us to understand is we want to keep a short list of our sins and keep them confessed up quickly. Because he says, for this reason, many of you are weak or physically feeble and you sick, and a number of you, or enough of you, it says, have died. Now, this doesn't mean, we know from Job, that just because bad things happen to you, you get sick, don't mean that you're a sinner. But sometimes the Lord will let us have consequences of our actions so that we have time to examine our lives before him and see if it's something going on in our life we need to confess. And if it is, we just need to confess it. And God will forgive us. Now, if we don't confess, he disciplines us. But look here what it says. He says that in verse 32, we're disciplined by the Lord so that we're not condemned with the rest of the world. When the Lord disciplines us and points out something in our life that he don't like and it makes us feel bad and kind of ashamed and we want to get rid of it, he's doing that. Why? So we know we're saved. Hebrews chapter 12 says that he disciplines us like a father disciplines us because he loves us. And Paul tells us here, look, when the Lord has given us this opportunity to confess the sins that we are committing since we've been saved, it's so that what? So in the end, we're not condemned for all eternity. How do I know I'm saved? The Lord lets me see my little sins. I've always said when I first got saved, if the Lord had showed me all my sins, I guess I'd have just busted in flames and burned up. But he showed me my bigger ones that I needed to quit first, and then throughout life, he keeps showing me other things I need to quit. And we have to be real careful now because the culture is so full of immorality and impurity that we accept a lot of things that God does not accept. And when we catch ourselves acting out the way that the world does, separating and division and causing divisiveness, we need to confess of that. And lastly, we need to look around. Paul says, if anyone's hungry, let him eat at home so that he will not come into, so that we do not come together for judgment. And in verse 33, he says, brethren, when you come together, eat to eat, wait for one another. What he's saying is, look around and see how you can help one another be a better Christian. See how you can help. If you've got a talent or if you've got something that somebody else needs and you can help them with it. Help lift them up. Don't push them down. The world will do that enough. Amen? So this morning, as we come to the end of this, I want to ask you just to pause and close your eyes. And I just want to ask you, if there's something going on in your life that you know God's not pleased with, just say, Lord God, I know Jesus died for my sins. I know I'm saved. But Lord, I've got this, and you can fill in the blank. It might be gossip, might be hatred, might be anger, it might be a prejudice, it might be that you're judgmental. I don't know what it is. But whatever's going on in your life, you know that Jesus doesn't like. Say, Lord, forgive me. Help me not do this no more. Help me proclaim the glories of Jesus, that he died for me so I don't have to live in my sin. If you're here this morning and you've never known the grace of God and forgiveness and you think that the things that you've done in your life can't be forgiven, Jesus says, this is my new covenant in my blood. My grace is greater than any sin you've committed. You simply just have to say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you lived on this earth the life I should have. You died the death I deserved. You was buried and raised. I'm asking you to forgive me and take control of my life. If you've prayed that, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Kind Father, I pray now as we get ready to partake of the Lord's Supper, that, Lord, our hearts are clean. That if it's anything, include myself, that we're holding back from you. That, Lord, we just ask for forgiveness right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I told y'all to pull off the top, so that's... There it goes. Was you able to get... If your whole top comes off, the wafer's between the two pieces of foil. I think you have to break that plastic if you've got them yet. Everybody got there? Jesus said on the night before he was betrayed, he says, "This is my body, which is given for the many. Take, eat of it in remembrance of me." And Scripture said that Jesus in the same way gave thanks for the cup. Let us pray. Kind Father, we come before you and thank you for your shed blood. That, Lord, none of us have suffered to the point of death. Yet you shed your blood for our sins to the point of death, even death on a cross. And because of that reason, God highly exalted you and placed the name on you so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under earth to the glory of the Father. Lord, as we partake of this, let us remember that you died, that you could be committed to a new covenant to make us into a community, a kingdom of believers to serve our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus took the cup. And he says, "This is my blood, which is the new covenant. Take a drink of it in remembrance of me." Count Father, just thank you for this day. Thank you for your shed blood, your broken body. Lord, I pray as we leave this place later today that we will not take for granted the greatness of our salvation and the greatness of your sacrifice, that you died so that we could live. Lord, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Richard if he will come and sing, and I asked you just to listen to the music and think of our life with Christ.
Good morning. Thank you all for having me this morning to worship with you. We'll sing a few songs. I hope the words touch you.
Mm-hmm. So many times our friends will tell us, I won't let you down. But when the storms are threatening danger, they cannot be found. But there's a friend whose name is Jesus, and his promise is real. There is no doubt he'll bring me out when he says I will. I will fight all your battles, give them all to me. I can make all your trials end in victory. I have all power and glory, it is mine to give. Oh, what a blessing, I am resting, for he says I will. The enemy can make me tremble, make me so afraid. I'll wrestle Satan through the night till the breaking of the day. With just the strength to look toward heaven, glory is revealed. He stands there waiting, gently saying, child, you know I will. I will fight all your battles, give them all to me. I can make all your trials end in victory. I have all power and glory, it is mine to give. Oh, what a blessing, I am resting, for he says I will. I will fight all your battles, give them all to me. I can make all your trials end in victory. I have all power and glory, it is mine to give. Oh, what a blessing, I am resting, for he says I will. Oh, what a blessing, I am resting, for he says I will.
Volume up, please. Is that wedding music I hear? I can't hardly hear the music, Pastor. There we go. We started over. Is that wedding music I hear? The bride's arrayed and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for the wedding celebration. Is that wedding music that I hear? The family is prepared for the wedding. All have been invited to attend. The bride is standing ready, waiting for the signal. When the groom says, rise, my children, come on in. Is that wedding music I hear? The bride's adorned and ready to appear.
Well, there's heavenly preparation for the wedding celebration. Is that wedding music that I hear? Soon we'll rise to leave this land of sorrow. For that ceremony in the air, the Father then will lead us through that holy land of splendor. Have you made your preparation to go there? Is that wedding music I hear? The bride's adorned and ready to appear. Well, there's heavenly preparation for that heaven. Is that wedding music that I hear? Well, there's heavenly preparation for the wedding celebration. Is that wedding music? Oh, is that wedding music that I hear? Oh, y'all ready to hear that wedding music? I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, bright, blessed day, dark, sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies crying, I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Speed it up a little bit.
Somebody sing about that old time religion. I want to hear it again. Somebody preach about the resurrection. I want to lift my hands. There's an old-fashioned moving of the Holy Ghost. I want to welcome him in. Let's tell the world about that old-time religion. Somebody sing it again. Sometimes I think this modern world is passing me by. So many things I cannot understand. People talking about a new kind of religion. It's just the young man. Oh, how I love to hear about those old camp meetings when people used to shout and sing. Let's all get back to the fire of the spirit. That old-fashioned feeling again. Somebody sing about that old-time religion. I want to hear it again. Somebody preach about the resurrection. I want to lift my hand. There's an old-fashioned moving of the Holy Ghost. I want to welcome him in. Let's tell the world about that old-time religion. Somebody sing it again. Where two or three are gathered, the Spirit is there with never-ending saving power. All we have to do is lift our hearts to the Lord. Revival could happen any hour. Somebody stand up and testify and tell that old story again. The God we serve has never changed. He's the same today as he was then. Somebody sing about that old-time religion. I want to hear it again. Somebody preach about the resurrection. I want to lift my hand. There's an old-fashioned moving of the Holy Ghost. I want to welcome him in. Let's tell the world about that old-time religion. Somebody sing it again. Somebody sing about that old-time religion. I want to hear it again. Somebody preach about the resurrection. I want to lift my hand. There's an old-fashioned moving of the Holy Ghost. I want to welcome him in. Let's tell the world about that old-time religion. Somebody sing it again. Let's tell the world about that old-time religion. Somebody sing it. Somebody sing it. Sing it again. Somebody sing it, sing it again. Thank you. I'm going to sing one more, and I guess the pastor will come back. I don't know. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to pray till evening set of sun. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I'd hear my mother call at set of sun. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows lengthen fast. Come home, it's supper time. some of the fondest memories of my childhood were woven around supper time. Marvin come to the back steps at old home place. She say, "Richard, come on in. It's supper time." Oh my, I'd love to hear that once more. But for me, time has woven the realization of a truth that's even more thrilling. And that's when the Lord comes to the portals of glory and he says to come on in. It's supper time. And we'll be gathered around the table of the Lord himself. And the greatest supper time of them all. In visions now I see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I hear once more. The supper table's ready up in heaven. Oh, it's supper time upon the golden shore. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows supper time. We're going home at last. Yes, we're going home at last.
Thank you, Brother Richard. Yep. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, it says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Amen. So when we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, we're preparing. We're practicing with the Lord's Supper here on this earth for the ultimate feast, and that would be at the wedding feast of the Lamb. And Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who opens the door, I will come in and dine with him, and he can dine with me. And I will grant to him to sit down on my throne as I have overcome and sat down on the throne of my Father." That is the promise that we have. So I pray that you have a blessed week, a great week, that think about Jesus often and a lot and pray. And this week when you're tempted to do something like the world does instead of like Jesus does, just say, "Lord, forgive me and help me start all over." Amen? Because we want to live for the Lord. We want people to know that the Lord has saved us and that the Lord changes hearts, that changes lives, that changes families, and that changes communities. Amen? Amen. Y'all give Brother Richard another hand. We thank you for being here today. I thank all of y'all. If you need me this week, just get in touch with me. Next week, I got a surprise for you. I'm going to be out of town preaching. And amen. Everybody will come. Y'all going to get out early, right? Amen. Brother Tim Burse is going to be preaching. And Scott and Bobby Ray are going to be doing the music. And they are familiar here. And so things will go good. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Kind Father, we just close out this service today exalting you, lifting you up, thanking you that you loved us, that you sent your Son. Your Son loved you so much that he fulfilled your plan of salvation by dying for us. And Lord, you loved your Son so much that 3 days later you raised him from the grave. Lord God, we thank you that you gave your all so that we could have everything. in Christ Jesus. Bless everyone here today, Lord. Guide, direct them. Keep your hedge of protection around them. Let the Holy Spirit convict and guide. Lead them in the truth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.